Hello and welcome to the Man Panel. I'm so excited that you're here, and I'm so excited to welcome a returning guest. He's back by popular demand, and that is the wonderful Larry Michael. Welcome, Larry.
Hello, hello. Thank you for the invitation. I'm excited to be back on the panel again.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we get started in what I know will be a very juicy conversation, Larry and I are going to be talking about how to attract the man you truly desire. I just want to tell you a little bit more about Larry. I know many of you may be familiar, but Larry is known as the Love Shepherd, and he's the founder of the School of Genetic Energetics, a master ERP, and he's also the host of the Larry Love Show. He's a breakthrough relationship coach, author, trainer, speaker, and producer. And he's the founder and voice of the4answers.com. Through this system, he's brought to the world the only scientifically proven online compatibility system that unlocks the mysteries and reveals the true motivations behind our actions, from devastating emotional upsets to our most joyous and blissful experiences. Larry dedicates his life to creating possibility for all of us to live in courageous intimacy, in deep connectivity, and in our full loving expression. Well, that sounds good. We need more of that in the world, right?
We do. We need lots and lots of it.
Yeah. So, Larry, I know that we're going to talk specifically about how to help the women attract the kind of man they truly desire. What are some of the things that you think stand in the way or stop us from attracting a quality relationship?
Oh, well.
Just jump right in there, right?
Self-esteem, for sure. You know, how much do we love ourselves? It really comes down to that. How much do we really truly love and embrace ourselves and actually know what it is that we desire the most to experience in relationship? And what gets in the way of that is any kind of stories that we hold on to the past, any kind of resentment or shame or blame or guilt or judgment, any of these things that like are present and happening, those are going to totally get in the way of attracting a quality relationship. They will not just get in the way, they'll sabotage it. And so, you know, that if you can be free of that, if you can show up right now in this present in a really loving space, and loving oneself most, then it's amazing who we attract. In fact, more incredible people than you can imagine, and not just for romance, but for relationships of all kinds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's quite a list, and it seems like we could have a conversation on any one of those that could take the whole time here. So self-esteem, shame, blame, those kinds of things get in our way, and we show up in the world differently, hence we attract different people when those things are present than we do when they're not there.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, if we have a story that says, well, you know, the last man, he cheated on me, or, you know, some indiscretion, or he was a commitment phobic. And we take that story into the present going, well, is this man going to cheat or is he going to be a commitment phobic? If we have that present with us, we'll actually attract that back into our lives. So we have to be able to leave those past experiences behind us, learn from them, you know, learn from them what's important to us about how we want to show up and what we want. But then we need to know, you know, who we are and then be that person and not bring those past stories and experiences with us. Because the universe does a really crazy thing, Michelle. And it's like, without exception, if you have a past story that you bring with you into the future or into the present, the universe is going to send you that situation again to test you and make sure that you're over it. So if you're, you know, people keep going, well, why do I keep attracting this? And why do I keep attracting? That's what I had the last time. It's because you brought the story with you and the universe just wants to know, are you done? And it won't know if you're done unless you leave the story behind. And it may even send you the most amazing person in the world just to test you one more time. And in that test, you get to show up fully in the present. Then the universe is done with that test and it goes on to the next one, right? Which is about our personal growth. But it will consistently happen that way.
I mean, yeah.
We look back into the history of our experiences and we'll find out that anytime we didn't get it, like we had an experience and I didn't learn from it, then we'll have the experience again and tell, damn it, we're going to make you learn. We're going to make you learn it. And then you finally get it. Yeah, when you finally get it, then it's done, right? So, you know, if you think that you can just like breeze by and, you know, have this story of the past and have resentment and shame or some kind of guilt around it and hold on to that, I guarantee you, you'll get to experience it again. So if you want to show up in the present, in your loving space, in the person that you want to be and experience life from now, this place, then it's a completely different ballgame. Completely different. And it's delicious. It's wonderful. So, I mean, it's in a way I can say it's that simple. You know, if you find yourself thinking about something that happened in the past, you just got to stop it because it's the past. It's over. It's finished. And the only reason why it exists now is because you brought it with you. So you're responsible for that. If you want to have the experience of your life and you want to move forward with love and romance, and just pleasure and joy and fulfillment, then get present. It's that simple.
Yeah, it's so powerful what you're talking about. And it seems pretty simple on the surface. It's not always so simple in our own lives. And do you mind if we dissect this just a little bit?
Oh, please. Right. Yeah, let's do it.
So one thing
I'm doing all the time with my clients is, you know, it's like on one hand, I do this Bob Newhart thing. If you've ever seen the Bob Newhart, you go to YouTube and watch the Bob Newhart Stop It. Everyone should watch it. It is a great thing to do. And, that, you know, basically it's just saying stop it. But then people go, well, but I had this traumatic experience and I have PTSD and it was just horrible. And you know, so I don't want to downplay anything that happened to someone in the past, but you have to leave it in the past. And sometimes that does take some work and it takes some redesigning and it takes some embracing a part of you that you may have forgotten that you had.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't want to downplay it that much, but there is a need to let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's dissect this a little bit. So okay. Why do you think, Larry, we formulate these so-called stories to begin with? I mean, why do we attach meaning to events that happen to our lives and create a big storyline around that? Why do you think we're prone to do that as human beings?
Oh, we have egos.
We have egos.
It's the ego. I mean, it really is. It's our ego wants to identify things. It likes clarity. So it wants to define who we are and it wants us to be really solid about who we are. And then when we have an experience, whether it's an exciting one or a traumatic one, you know, whether it's fulfilling or it's really challenging, it wants to put a definition around it so that it can validate that you were there, right? It's kind of validation of self-existence. That's what the ego does. And so we, on a daily basis, on a minute-by-minute basis, we do this dance with our ego. It's like, okay, I know who I am. And then the other part's got to go, and I'm excited to find out who I could be, right? So the ego just wants you to stay with who you are. That makes it solid. The could be is the exploration. That's a step into a broader consciousness and availability and awareness. And it's where we emerge as human beings into something bigger and greater, which we should always be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think you've got it all together and you're perfect now, then you're done living, right?
Yeah.
So we have this opportunity to embrace life and all that it has to offer. But if we carve it in stone, which is what we often do because it makes us feel more secure, we feel more safe. We got it together, right? It's like you get in behind your white picket fence and you shut the gate. and you go, this is who I am. Well, that's no fun for anybody. You know, it just isn't. So we have to do this dance, and we can honor our need to have a certain degree of definition, but we also need to be courageous about the possibility of expansion, because mm-hmm. that's what humans do. We grow, we expand. And when we're not doing that, then we shrink and we start to have chronic pains and illness, and we have all kinds of physical disabilities start to happen to us when we don't allow ourselves to grow. Mm-hmm. This is really what I'm saying, is a very profound statement. There's a lot of people in pain out there, not just emotional pain, but physical pain. Shoulders hurt, back hurts, knees hurt, you know, something that's related, right side father or the male, left side is female, and you have these pains. And, you know, where are they coming from? Most of them, 97% of our pain is from here, right? And it's when we hold on to things too tightly that we create that constriction that shows up in our body in all kinds of ways. And it causes our heart to stop. It beats. But the part of our heart that's so wonderful and juicy and loving, it stops when we're in that place. Because mm-hmm. we're not present with it. We're just holding on to our fears. You know, love only exists in the moment. It only exists right now. If you try to define it, it's not love anymore.
Yeah.
So we, you know, these are, everything points to live life right now. And it doesn't mean you have to be blissful. You can have, all of us are human to the point where we're going, oh, I'm so aggravated. Or you stub your toe, or dang it, where's that serviceman that was supposed to show up? Or why didn't I get this? You know, those are natural things. But what we do with those emotions is really key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think our minds try to kind of make sense of events that happen to us. And so we come up with these stories centered around things that happen. As you were speaking, I was thinking about a client that I coached in the past. And she was, when I was working with her, she was in her 60s. And she had this mindset that all men she met were automatically going to reject her. And as we started delving into that a bit, she remembered that when she was like in the seventh grade, she asked this boy to a Sadie Hawkins dance, and he said no. And she had created a story around that way back then, that all men were going to reject her. And then she had gone through her life, because that was the storyline that she was going with. She'd gone through her life and had collected a lot of evidence to support this story. And so then she had developed some confirmation bias, and it wasn't until we're having this conversation, when she's now in her 60s, that she realizes for all these years that that had been going on, which right. was pretty amazing.
This is so common. It's so common. Decades. Can you imagine? And this is decades of mm-hmm. constriction from a story that happened when she was, what, 12, 14 years old or something mm-hmm. like that? I run into that so often. I mean, there is times when we'll go back and use methodologies that takes people back into memories that are actually periods and experiences that are beyond their memory, just so that we can do a complete internal shift and then bring it forward and rewrite that story, that context, so they can show up today free of it. Now, the reason why genetic energetics is such a powerful science that I work with is because it is the most effective tool that I've used in 30 years to bust stories, to just bust them apart. You know, there is, if we got into talking about genetic energetics now, we would have to go another couple hours. But this system defines what we are energetically, in the way we communicate, the way that we process information, how we handle money, our sexual interaction, even chemistry and attractions are defined there. And one of the things, and I'll just mention one of them, is called sexual response type. And it's the reason why I bring it up is that almost every person I run into has some preconceived idea about what men are and what women are and how men like to engage sexually and how women engage sexually and what's the proper way or the not proper way, right?
Yeah.
And it is just crazy making, because 50% of it at least is not true. It's just not accurate, not scientifically accurate, but there's lots of stories and belief systems and even teachers out there saying things. So genetic energetics looks at two different sexual response types. Well, a young girl who in her early teens or even younger, who is what we call mental, emotional, sexual response type, her sexual energy is all on the surface. And so people pick up on it. They feel that sexuality. And the result is many women from a very early age have been told, you're flirty all the time. You're too aggressive sexually. You need to tone it down. You come across way too sexual. And they're not doing anything but being themselves. But the mental, emotional, sexual response type, man or woman, their sexual energy is on the surface, so people notice it. So what do they do as they get older? The women start to dress more conservatively. You can pinpoint them in a room. If you had 50 women, I could tell you who were and who were not, just by how they're dressing, because they don't want to be misunderstood. Guys have women respond to them and react as if the guy is flirting or trying to come on to him, and they are not. And so they start to kind of hold back even themselves and how aggressive they want to communicate with women. When they find out what they are, they're able to look back and go, oh my goodness, it wasn't about me doing something wrong. It wasn't about me wearing the wrong clothing. It wasn't any of that. It was just how my energetic showed up. Mm-hmm. And it frees them, liberates them from these stories. Like your client was liberated from this story she had from seventh grade.
Right.
And in that moment in time, they get their life back. They get who they are and what they are, and they get to embrace it fully in this moment, right? Mm-hmm. Without the shame or the blame or the projection that is causing them not to experience life fully in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, and that's just one little area of my science that goes deeply into many things. And it's not just genetic energetics that's important when it comes to busting stories. Any stories we hold on to prevent us from being in the present.
Yeah. Profound and so important. And one of the things that I think is tricky about it, and the example of my client that I gave illustrates this, is sometimes we don't even know these stories are still there because they're more on the subconscious or the unconscious level. And yet they're like a hard drive in the computer. They're kind of running the whole show, even though we don't see them. My client didn't realize that had been running her love life for the last several decades, into her 60s, something that happened to her when she was in the seventh grade. She didn't know that had been running the show. And so one of the tricky parts about this is that some of these stories we're aware of, but some of them we don't even know they're there.
Yeah, most we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're kind of on automatic. We're running on automatic. And look at the lifestyle we have today. This is not simple. This is not like in the farm, when we had a farm and you got up and you fed your chickens and you knew what your routine was every day and what you had to do to survive. We have a very complex lifestyle that can be very stressful. We've got homes with multiple wage earners. We have people that have multiple jobs just to make ends meet. Where you used to live alone, now sometimes people have many roommates. It's complex, right? And so that complexity, if we don't know how to flow with it, it becomes stressful and those stories just get buried and everything we're doing is more reaction instead of action.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So yeah, it's very common. And the great thing though is, just like with your client, as soon as you uncover it, it's really what I find is that once one story is uncovered, then the rest of them start to open up. And it's kind of like a really tight rose that begins to bloom. It's like, oh, this petal loosened up here. Ah, and then it starts to get bigger and bigger and brighter and more beautiful. And so it's not like you got to do hard work to go back and get into every one of them. Usually one breakthrough creates a scenario where all kinds of things break open. And then the person slowly can relax and their life flows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, That's the great work that coaches do, whether they use genetic energetics, my science, or they use a variety of things. You know, I don't go into it with just one thing. I bring all my years of coaching and therapy work and all the tools I have to help someone get free of whatever challenges exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, there's so many modalities, hypnotherapy, you name it. All of them are aiming to do usually the same thing, which is get people free of that is constraining them.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's this quote, you're probably familiar with it or have at least seen it before, by John Lennon. And he talks about how there are two main motivating forces kind of underneath everything. One is love and one is fear. Mm-hmm. And I know for myself that when I was single and struggling in the whole relationship realm, that I made a lot of decisions based on fear. And of course that didn't typically lead me to a happy place.
No.
And I know that's true for many other women out there, because I talk to them like you talk to people all the time. I talk to people all the time. Do you think this whole fear thing is really based in these stories and this guilt and the shame? Where does all this fear come
from? It absolutely comes from that. I mean, if you had an experience, oh my gosh, I mean, there's so many examples we could bring up. You're driving a car and you get in a horrible accident. You don't want to drive a car again because you're fearful to get on the freeway. So you take every possible side road, right? you had an experience where you had a huge financial calamity and it wasn't your fault. It was someone else's, you know, doing, but it impacted you in a really traumatic way. So now you're so fearful about who's spending money, how it's being spent, where it's being spent. Does anyone have any control? You know, where's the control that you clamp down tight? And so, you know, it all comes from our past experiences. And we have to remember, and this is when we find ourselves fearful about anything and we're projecting that fear on someone else, the question is it really this person we're worried about? Or are we fearful that we're going to have an experience like we had before and we're projecting it on someone new?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 70% of my clients are couples, and they're couples that want their relationships to be stellar. They want it to be so fulfilling. And so often what gets in the way is some experience that they had in the past, they're projecting on their partner. You know, it's like, you could have had gone through a divorce in the past where there was an indiscretion, mm-hmm. right? And the circumstances of those indiscretion, that circumstance, something similar may come up again. Like, you know, maybe your partner's traveling to the Bahamas for a business meeting. Oh, the Bahamas. That's going to be an incredible place. There's a lot of women hanging out there. I bet he's going to probably go have an affair with someone. And, you know, and this might be because this happened in a previous relationship where the partner went to the Bahamas and it happened there, right?
Yeah.
But when you get right down to it and you ask them, do you really have any concerns that your partner would ever be interested in even look at another woman? And they go, well, no, not really. Then where's this coming from? Well, it's coming from that past experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's fear-based. And the fear is based on an experience in the past, right? We have nothing to fear. Think of kids. And think of a young kid, little kids in a sandbox. Are they fearful? No, they're picking up sand. They're throwing it. They have little parts and pieces and rocks. And sometimes they even get hit with that, you know. And then, some parent comes up and goes, oh, don't do that. You could hurt somebody. And they're so upset that now the kid's going, I don't want my parents upset. And so they're fearful of that upset ever happening again. It changes their behavior.
Yeah.
Right. But up till then, everything was like, wow, let's explore. Let's check it out. Let's see what we can do. That's the way life should be. Right. Think about your opportunity to meet someone new. And whether it's a speed date or it's Tinder or it's a dating site or it's a matchmaker set you up and you're at the table facing this person and you know you look at them and all of a sudden you go, boy, this reminds me of Bob. I remember Bob. He used to look at me like that. Well, this guy must be kind of creepy, you know, and it's like Oh my God, give them a chance, you know, see the person that's in front of you. But the only way you can do that is you have to be present, right? Because we want to be seen, and we want to be seen for who we are now and how we can show up now and what we're capable of now.
Yeah.
That's why for women to really meet someone special in their life, they need to be tuned into who they are now and what they really want and desire to experience in relationship. How do they want to be loved? How do they want to be embraced? What's really important to them? And do they behave as if that's happening to them? You know, live the way we want to be, and we will attract those people in.
So that caught my attention, Larry, when you said live as, say that again, live as though that's...
Live the way you want to be.
Live right? the way you live. Want to be.
Yeah. So many people like ask for something. I want someone who respects me, but they don't necessarily even respect themselves.
Yeah.
So you got to show up and be the person. Be the person that you want to be treated as. And with the kind of, be the kind of person that behaves the way you want to be treated. And it is remarkable who shows up. You don't need dating sites. You don't need matchmakers. Those people will flock to you like a magnet pulls you in when you're that kind of person. They just like, the world's looking for folks that they can really connect with and be loving with and compassionate to and conscious and vulnerable and all of these luscious things that great relationships have. And we just need to be, we need to show up as someone that is that way so that they'll come to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they do.
Yeah, I agree. So I know this is something you and I have talked about before in the past, Larry, but I think this is really important. And you touched on it just a little bit, which is, why is it that we so often are physically or sexually attracted to the wrong people? Does it tie back to the stories? Help us understand that, because you know this whole chemistry thing.
Yeah, I
do. Gets us all into trouble at one time or another and can be so confusing. And when we talk about this, I always feel like people are saying, well, of course you have to have chemistry. We're not saying you don't have to have chemistry, but why is this kind of a area that we all just kind of have to have some awareness around?
All right, so this is a scientific phenomenon, okay? Chemistry is the elevation of 6 brain chemicals: dopamine, oxytocin, testosterone, PEA, norepinephrine, and I left one out someplace there. I think oxytocin. There's 6 neurotransmitters, brain chemicals that all get elevated. And when that happens, we feel it, and it feels really good. I mean, it's like you just had it's the buzz you get from drinking a glass of wine fast or whatever. You know, you go, wow, this is great, and you're elevated, and you know, you take off your regular glasses and you put on rose-colored glasses, and mm-hmm. you don't see half the issues that are in front of you because you're just all drugged up. It is a scientific phenomenon. In fact, it is the most, chemistry is the most addictive, chemical-reliant experience that we can have. I talked to a brain surgeon once, and I said, you know, I think it's more powerful than opiums and opiates and things like that. And he goes, oh, it absolutely is. When people have those chemicals elevated, they're drugged up, and it's very addictive, right? So now, why does it happen? With genetic energetics, one of the things that we did, we had a group of outside scientists come in and study us almost 8 years ago now. And one of the things we looked at was chemistry. And we identify people as having what's called either true or false attractions. Mm-hmm. It's related to the genetic code of your opposite gender parent. And it has to do with how we communicate, but the energetics are there. And all of this, I think we're going to give people a free gift, aren't we, somewhere here, so they'll be able to find out what their attractions are. If you have true attractions, you're attracted to someone that is very similar communication style as you are. So this is someone that's really easy to communicate with. Mm-hmm. If you have false attractions, you're attracted to someone who is not the same communication style, and you want to be with them, but after a while, you figure out, wow, we're not even speaking the same language. And so that can be complicated. But even when you have true or false attractions, whatever it is, the chemistry is there. And when it's there, we just don't make really sound decisions unless we're aware of it. And and I'll give you an example. My partner and I, we just have moved in with each other, so I'm so excited about that. But for a couple of years, we didn't. We lived about 30 minutes apart. And I remember one evening at about 10:30 in the evening, she says, "Why don't you come over?" And it's late, right? We're both tired. I'm not coming over for anything else other than to climb into bed, go to sleep. And I was going to see her at 7 in the morning anyhow for a meeting we had. And next thing I know, I'm driving my car. And I'm in my car going, why am I doing this? I could have just climbed into bed and been sleeping, get a good night's rest, take care of my dog. And I'm going, but no, I'm driving over to my girlfriend's house so I can climb in and go to sleep. And I'm going, this is chemistry. This just makes no sense at all. And I keep driving, right? and I just had to laugh because I knew it was like my own dopamine high, right, that was taking me over there. Well, that's a simple situation. But in the more complex situations, chemistry will have us stay with people in relationships much longer than we should, because we don't look at all the things that are really important to us because we're doped up chemically. Mm-hmm. Now, what do we do about that? Whether we have true or false attractions, it doesn't matter. We still get that chemical charge. And when we have it, we need to be aware that it's happening so that we can kind of take our time, make more conscious decisions. If we find ourselves going, hell yes, I want to do that. and then inside we're going, do I want to do that? Why do I want to do that? Why did I say I want to do that? You know, instead of having that experience, take our time. You know, we get so wrapped up in the wonderful feeling of chemistry that we forget to really honor the decisions we want to make. And by the way, chemistry is not just all about romance. We choose the people we want to be our friends. We choose who we're in business with. We even choose which of our children we like the most and we get along better with based on chemistry. So to be aware of what our chemical attractions are is critically important, not so that we can project on someone, but that we can be more conscious of how we make decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think a key thing that you talked about there was slowing things down. It's great to have chemistry. It's exciting. It's fun. It's thrilling. It can feel like the Holy Grail, right?
It's awesome. It's awesome.
And it's so much fun because we don't feel that every day with every person that we meet. But it's really important, especially for those of you that want to have a long-term kind of relationship, to make sure that you slow things down enough to get to know a little bit more about the other person and who the two of you are together, assess compatibility. And I always say, see the heart and character qualities of this person. Because one thing I know for sure is chemistry does not necessarily equate to compatibility.
No, it does not. It does not. And I remember like in the early dating stages when dating sites were really, really popular, I would see profiles and a lot of women used to write, "I'll know in 5 minutes. No, I'll know in 10 seconds whether there's chemistry or not." You know, or they say there's got to be chemistry or forget about it. Right. And I can guarantee you that most of those people were the ones that are probably would still be single today because they keep getting into relationships that start out going hot and heavy and then they end up being train wrecks. Mm-hmm. And so I just can't overemphasize. I think chemistry is wonderful and it's also dangerous and it's a dance. So we just have to be aware of it. It's cool to be juiced up. It really is. And when you find compatibility, even if there's not chemistry at the very beginning, when people are really compatible and they begin to live that life of joy and creation together, then there's a new form of chemistry that comes up that's actually far more powerful than that instant spurt of chemistry that a lot of people look for. Mm-hmm. It's way more powerful and it's more juicy and it's really longer lasting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for speaking to that because I know it's something that comes up often And I really, really like what you've shared today. I really feel like these are so important. And before we kind of wrap up and share a little about your free gift, Larry, since this particular event is to help women understand and have better relationships with men, I'm just wondering if there's a last idea or something you'd like to share along those lines. And I recognize in asking this question, not all men are the same, not all women are the same. We've been talking about how we have differences and it's important to understand ourselves better. But generally speaking, I'm just wondering if there's something you can share that might be valuable or helpful to the ladies here. Well, I know I put you on the spot there.
Yeah, no, please. I appreciate this because, you know, in the last 6 months, I've been following the Me Too movement and, you know, and men's movements in response to the Me Too movement, and, you know, all of this, which has turned out to be, I think, almost devastating to a certain degree. The reveal is important, but the witch hunt has been a problem. And the projection on how men behave and how women behave and who they are has really been problematic. Michelle, if I meet you for the first time, I know you're female. That's what I know. I'm interested in females. So then from that point, I want to discover who you are, right? Without projecting, well, she's blonde and she has long hair. What does that mean? Or she's a woman. Does that mean that she's going to be interested in my money? You know, all of these crazy making ideas. You got to stop it. You got to stop that and go into every relationship with this absolutely joyous curiosity and desire to discover who is this person that's in front of you, right? And discover who they are. Every man and every woman is going to relate differently to the next man and woman. So you could have one man that was seemed to be very mean and cold to one person and be very generous and warm-hearted to another. It's two different combinations, and every combination of any two people is uniquely different. And we've got to remember that. If we don't, if we project, then we short circuit everything. We cut ourselves off from the greatest possibility in relating. And so, you know, be that kid in a sandbox when you go to meet someone and discover, go into an inquiry space and find out who are you, right? Just the way you want to be seen. You know, I don't want someone projecting on me. If you're a woman, you don't want someone projecting on you.
Right.
You want that person to discover who you are. Be in that place, have a child's mind, and get excited about it. And by the way, you may discover that, hopefully you're going to discover someone great, but you know what? Many times you may discover, you go, wow, that's not at all what I'm interested in. And because you're just in that pure discovery space and you're not trying to fit, you know, a square block into a round hole, then you discover much quicker whether this is someone that you want to spend time with or not. It's a great gift that you give yourself by being that open, because you can be far more discerning if you're not judging in advance.
Yeah. Yeah, I really appreciate that you said that. I think that's a really wonderful note to wrap up on. And before we do, though, Larry, I know you mentioned it briefly already. I know you have a wonderful free gift for everyone listening here, and I'll have you tell us about it. But ladies, you can also access it right underneath the audio or video that you're listening from. So tell us a little bit about your free gift, Larry, because I know this would be valuable to so many people.
Yeah, you got to do it. It's called a personal energetic profile. And what this is going to do is tell you what you are energetically. It's going to define your communication style. I probably don't have time to go into detail about all of it. It's going to define your communication styles, what we call activity level, how you process information, your relationship to money, your sexual response type. It's going to tell you whether you have true or false attractions. And then there is also a section that has modifiers that go into depth about personality characteristics that are so valuable to know. Some people don't have any modifiers. Some people have multiple. And you only need two pieces of information to get this. You need your birth date, month, day, and year. You don't need time or place. It's not astrology or anything like that. It's its own science. And if you can get it, the birth date of your opposite gender biological parent. So for you, Michelle, be your father, your biological father. If you don't have that date, it's okay. You can do the report without it. You just won't get the chemistry section, but you'll get everything else. It's super valuable and it's super useful. And you can do this for yourself. You can do it for your friend or your someone you're interested in, but definitely go do it. And then, you know, if you want to go deeper into any of this work, you can always contact me at Larry M, as in Michael, at the4answers.com. And, you know, we're working with couples and individuals all the time. We have a whole team of energetic relationship professionals that also do that. And we're happy to support you to have the most ecstatic, wonderful, fulfilling, joyful life you can possibly have. It's our desire.
Thank you so much, Larry. Really appreciate that. And I've done Larry's work here, and he was generous enough to give one to both me and my husband so that we could kind of learn some things about ourselves. And I can tell you it was quite interesting, quite revealing, and very accurate. So it's a lot of fun, and don't miss out on that opportunity. So just click on the link below. Be sure to get your free gift. And then also scroll down to the bottom of this page you're listening to and check out the VIP package. Because in addition to all of the wonderful interviews, there's some amazing bonuses, again, to help support you on your journey. And Larry and I both are here to support you in and are cheering you on to have the love and the life that you dream of. So thank you so much for joining us. Larry, kisses to you.
Thank you. Thanks for putting this on, Michelle. I love the group of people you bring together for this. And it's always so exciting to see how people respond to the information. And I don't think I've ever listened to a single interview where there wasn't something valuable, even just a little tidbit that came out of anything that you've done. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for your kind words and for your contribution and for the work you're doing in the world. And thank you also, ladies, for listening, because the fact that you're here says something about you, that you're committed to having a love and life that is extraordinary. So we compliment you. Yeah. And hope you'll join us for some more of the Man Panel, and we'll see you soon. Bye for now.